Hello, and welcome to Columbus Monthly Magazine on VoiceCore. I'm Carol Williams. For the next hour, I'll be reading articles from the current issue of Columbus Monthly, June 2026. And since this is the last Sunday in June, we'll complete this month's magazine and move on to more stories from 614 Magazine. Columbus Monthly's cover story is the annual Summer Entertainment Guide. The Columbus Monthly staff calls it our guide to the best summer ever in Columbus. Here are some local fairs and festivals to explore. This little piece is by Heather Lofi. Summertime brings a bevy of entertainment options for all ages with cultural events, arts and music showcases, and a host of fairs. From neighborhood street parties to big cultural celebrations, summer in Columbus is packed with fairs and festivals worth putting on your calendar. These events are all about good food, live music, and local traditions. Whether you're looking for something family-friendly or just an excuse to be outside, there's a festival for every kind of summer mood. It probably goes without saying that today is the last day of ComFest at Goodale Park. It's officially the community festival, but we all know it as ComFest, a summer mainstay that's now more than 50 years old. In July, look for the Westerville Music and Arts Festival, July 11th and 12th, held at Heritage Park, 60 North Cleveland Avenue. The two-day festival showcases juried art and music for all ages, including a Saturday evening concert on the main stage. Due to Everall Barn renovations, there will not be a youth art exhibit, but plenty of other activities are available for families. Admission is just $2 for ages 10 and older. Also beginning on the 11th, running through the 18th of July, it's the Madison County Fair, held at Madison County Fairgrounds, 205 Elm Street in London, Ohio. July 18th through the 25th, it's the Lancaster Festival, with multiple venues in Lancaster, with more information at lancasterfestival.org. This popular event, which started in 1984, is known for drawing nationally known musicians, and this year is no exception. The finale concert will be performed by Lady A. Highlights for families include arts, a puppet show, a comic book camp, registration is required for that one, and a magic show. Various musical performances occur daily, and tickets are priced by event. July 20th through the 26th, it's the Franklin County Fair. At the Franklin County Fairgrounds, 4100 Columbia Street in Hilliard. There's more information at fcfair.org. July 24th and 25th, Canal Winchester Blues and Rib Fest in historic downtown Canal Winchester, centered around High and Waterloo Streets. There's more info at bluesandribfest.com. Two different stages host blues musical acts, and visitors will find plenty of ribs and a designated outdoor refreshment area during the 15th annual festival. Children's activities are also offered, and admission is free. But wait, there's more ribs. July 24th through the 26th, it's the Jazz and Rib Fest at the Scioto Mile in downtown Columbus. Sponsored by the Columbus Recreation and Parks Department, the long-running Jazz and Rib Fest offers 3 full days of barbecue and music in a scenic riverfront setting. Admission is free. July 26th through August 1st, the Union County Fair at Union County Fairgrounds, 845 North Main Street in Marysville. July 29th through August 9th, it's the Ohio State Fair at the Ohio Expo Center and State Fairgrounds, 717 East 17th Avenue in Columbus. July 31st to August 2nd, Dublin Irish Festival in Kaufman Park, 5200 Emerald Parkway, Dublin. The Dublin Irish Festival draws 90,000 people during its three-day celebration of Irish culture. National and international performers entertain guests on seven different stages at Kaufman Park. The Wee Folk area features crafts, stories, and inflatables. On July 30th, a kickoff 5K race and Kids Dash take place in historic Dublin. A sensory-friendly take-a-break space is available for those who need a pause from the festivities. Tickets start at $20. Children 11 and younger are admitted free. Let's finish up Columbus Monthly's coverage of summer entertainment with the category of sports, and this piece by Peter Tognette. U.S. Senior Open, July 2nd through the 6th. The major tournament returns to the Scioto Country Club this year. Sports fans are rightly impressed by such aging but still dazzling athletes as LeBron James and Aaron Rodgers. But golf fans have long known that mastery is attainable in the sport into middle age and beyond. I'm 41 and I just picked up skateboarding. I don't have a very long skateboarding career in front of me, says Jesse Curcy, Director of Marketing at the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. But I started golfing 7 or 8 years ago, and I can golf for as long as I can physically do it. You can pick it up at any age and play it for a really long time. The proof may be in the U.S. Senior Open, which is on July 2nd through the 6th at the Scioto Country Club, and will invite golfers 50 and older to prove their mettle. The cool thing about open tournaments is they're open by definition, Curcy says. It's not just professional players or former champions. It's anybody with a handicap index under 2.4. The pool of 2,780 entrants will be reduced to a 156-player field. Then, we've got one person that will ultimately lift the trophy in July, says Curcy, noting that recent champions include such impressive players as Padraig Harrington, Bernhard Langer, and Steve Stricker. There are a lot of good golfers still out there, he says. This year's tournament will take place for the third time at the Scioto Country Club, whose storied past and first-class maintenance made it a logical landing spot for the U.S. Senior Open in 1986 and 2016. It was designed by Donald Ross in 1916, and it's obviously been updated since then, Curcy says. It's got ties to Jack Nicklaus, learning to play there as a kid. There's not a whole lot of golf courses that can claim they had the greatest champion golfer learn the game there. Various ticket packages can be found at the USGA website. With the popularity of golf skyrocketing, Curcy says, it's an especially good year to follow the game in Columbus. It's the 50th anniversary of the Memorial Tournament, he says. It's a really special year for golf in Columbus. Here are a few other sports that you might not have thought about. First, Columbus Recreation and Parks Sports Leagues. Sports are not just for spectators. So for those who wish to spend their summer doing some sweating, the Recreation and Parks Department offers numerous adult sports leagues, including pickleball with a 6-week season that begins July 12th, tennis, A 5-week season begins July 19th, and indoor volleyball with a 5-week season beginning August 16th. You can find out more at columbusrecparks.com. Columbus Clippers. In keeping with Columbus's tradition of not being home to Ohio's major league teams, but having the state's coolest teams, the Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, will be in the swing of their season all summer long. Don't miss out on promotions that make going to home games at Huntington Park easier, including Family Day Sundays, Tuesday Dime a Dog Nights, and $5 Wednesdays. Find out more at MILB.com/Columbus. Columbus Crew. For professional soccer fans residing in the Columbus region, summertime is synonymous with the Columbus Crew kicking their way to another playoff berth and, ideally, their first MLS Cup since 2023. The club plays at Scott's Miracle-Gro Field, and there's more information at columbuscrew.com. Finally, Columbus Eagles FC. The Crew is not the only game in town. Support women's soccer by making yourself a regular attendee of the home games of the Columbus Eagles FC, who play their games at Fortress Obetz. Find out more at columbuseaglesfc.com. You'll find this next article in the Columbus Monthly section called Food and Drink. It's by Linda Lee Baird, and the title reads, Lucky 13. 13 years after opening its downtown flagship, Wolf's Ridge prepares for its next chapter, including a third location at the Worthington Inn. A lot has happened over the past 13 years in the brewing and hospitality industries, a peak and then decline in craft beer sales, a pandemic, tariffs, workforce uncertainty. Since he opened Wolf's Ridge Brewing in downtown Columbus with his father, Alan, in 2013, Bob Zuter has been through it all. He's also managed to keep growing his brand while adapting it to the times. Lauded for its excellent food and beers, Wolf's Ridge certainly hasn't been immune from larger industry pressures. Coming out of the pandemic, things just hadn't come back the way we wanted them, Zuter says of the downtown restaurant and taproom. The business was slowing down on both spaces. A bustling demand at Understory, the lounge, dining, and event space Wolf's Ridge opened in Neal Avenue's open-air building in Old North Columbus in 2022, helped offset some of the problems. But Zuter decided to do more in the flagship space, starting with hiring a new management team last spring. He credits general manager Nick Panino and assistant general manager Jason Florian with helping them start that process of refocusing on the guest experience. The changes include adding a weekday lunch menu in late 2025, followed by the return of pizza, which became popular at the restaurant during COVID-19 and returned, thanks in part to a fortuitous find, a pizza oven being auctioned off by the former Tommy's on Lane Avenue. Sutter says they were able to purchase it for around $100. The pizzas, priced starting at $17, are made on a stone hearth with a focaccia crust and served up to 2 people. Now, if guests just want to come out and have some beer and pizza, we can do that, Sutter says. But those who prefer the dining room's noteworthy higher-end cuisine for lunch still have plenty of options, from a shredded duck melt sandwich, $13, that oozes with cheese and flavor, to the restaurant's famed toad-in-the-hole, $18, which Suter says has been a staple from day one. Some behind-the-scenes changes also are having an impact. Last year, Wolf's Ridge turned its beer distribution over to a wholesaler. That allowed us to refocus on our core competencies, Suter says. We were able to just bring a little more focus on making the beer. A new chef is also at the helm. Tom Summer came on board in March after serving as a private chef since 2021. Summer says his favorite thing about the job is interacting with guests and co-workers. Without others, I'd be one person cooking for one. Not a lot of fun in that. The changes at Wolf's Ridge go beyond downtown. Understory also has a new head chef and management team. For the first time at any of our locations, the team is all female, which is really cool, Suter says. They're bringing a lot of energy and excitement. Then there's the opening of the company's third restaurant in the historic Worthington Inn. Chef Christopher Ludwig, who has been with Wolf's Ridge since the beginning at the 4th Street location, is leading the Worthington Kitchen. He really got excited about what that could be and sees the potential for it to be a pretty high-volume space, Suter says of Ludwig, adding that the chef lit up when he first saw the kitchen. Though he brings experience from downtown, Ludwig has shaped the menu to meet the needs of the neighborhood. The goal, Suter says, is a space people can stop in regularly, balancing affordable snacks and bar foods with higher-end options for people celebrating special occasions. Guests can expect lunch items like French onion soup, $10, fish and chips, $23, a BLT, $15, or a vegetarian mushroom-based MLT at $13. Dinner offers confit cod cheeks, $22, and a sirloin filet, $45. Vegetarian options include mushroom-based scallops, $26, and a campanella pasta, $24. Later this summer, a downstairs bar called the Wolf's Den will further activate the space with small plates in a retro vibe cocktail space, Suter says. And of course, Wolf's Ridge craft beers will be served. A nutty new English pale ale called Innkeeper was brewed for the Worthington opening. We're really trying to honor the historical nature of the space, Suter says, and just bring a little bit of life and energy back to that building. You can meet Wolf's Ridge's executive chefs here. Katie Reimer at Understory. Katie Reimer began her tenure at Understory in February. Her previous experience includes working at Vine and Forge and The Key. Fun fact, Reimer has four parrots that she enjoys spending time with on her off days. When asked what's one dish on your current menu that you are excited for guests to try, she says, "I'm very excited about our new udon dish. It's a unique composition that is fully customizable for our guests. It reflects my commitment to using locally sourced, fresh, and organic ingredients." Understory is at 2571 Neal Avenue in Old North Columbus. Tom Summer, Wolf's Ridge Brewing. Tom Summer took over as executive chef at Wolf's Ridge in March, and owner Bob Suter says he has fit right into the culture. He was previously self-employed as a private chef. While he enjoys fishing, his favorite time on his days off is devoted to his family. What's one dish on your current menu that you are excited for guests to try? Rather than specific dishes, I get excited for new ingredients that come with the seasons. For example, getting beautiful rhubarb to use as the acid along with local asparagus, Marcona almond and brown butter for an early spring take on a brook trout almondine, elevated visually by the bright vibrance of rhubarb. Wolf's Ridge Brewing, 215 North 4th Street, downtown. Finally, Christopher Ludwig, Wolf's Ridge at Worthington Inn. After over 12 years downtown at Wolf's Ridge Brewing, where he was a sous chef and then executive chef, Christopher Ludwig recently headed north to take the helm at the Worthington Inn. He spends his free time with his wife and his dogs, thrifting and fishing. He also says he's a big nerd for culinary history and historical cookbooks. What's the one dish on your current menu that you are excited for guests to try? Pork runs through my veins. We're known for the tomahawk chop, so it's definitely that one. At the downtown location, it's the butcher sauerkraut and wild game sausage, sharing my German heritage and love of wild game. Wolf's Ridge at Worthington Inn, newly opened at 649 High Street in Worthington. There's one more short article in this month's Columbus Monthly. It's also in the food and drink section, and it's called 4 Years of Sparkles. Galaxy Coffee calls itself Columbus's queer-owned coffee truck, but offers a community space for all. This piece is by Linda Lee Baird. Javona Morris took a winding path to owning Galaxy Coffee, which she opened in June of 2022 as a self-described queer-owned coffee truck. Before hospitality, she worked in city planning, where she was assigned to research the then up-and-coming Southside Roots Cafe, now Mid-Ohio Kitchen at Reeb. The concept sparked something for her. "I just got more and more frustrated I was not running it," she says. She realized she didn't want to research third spaces or the places aside from work or home where people gather primarily for a conversation. Morris wanted to run one herself. She quit her job and started working at a Starbucks to learn the industry. And then the pandemic hit, a moment that caused Morris to reevaluate her plans. But the concept of a coffee truck, outdoors with the flexibility to travel, seemed like a solution. Morris and her then-partner, Kels Wilson, who Morris met while working at Starbucks, started an Indiegogo campaign that raised $11,000 to start Galaxy Coffee. The truck began serving drinks in front of Clintonville's Virtue Vegan Salon, with frequent stops at Columbus Public Health and festivals around town. But owning a food truck often isn't a smooth ride. Engine troubles were common for Galaxy Coffee, and repair parts were difficult and expensive to come by during the pandemic. Finally, Morris decided to simplify things by finding a permanent location for the truck. "I literally just walked up to different businesses and knocked on their doors and was like, 'Would you want a food truck parked in front of your building?'" she recalls. After not hearing back from her initial outreach to design business Between State, which was next to a corner lot at North High Street and East Como Avenue in Clintonville, she had been eyeing, Morris stopped in with coffee and pastries. She received permission to rent the lot in early 2024, and Galaxy Coffee has been there ever since. The space gave Galaxy room to implement Morris's original third space vision. Patio seating is available next to the truck, giving patrons room to hang out and sip their beverages, many of which include the sparkling whimsy that Galaxy is known for. The Galaxy Latte, $7, is topped with a brown sugar cloud foam, Morris says, and dusted with pink and purple glitter. For a kick without the caffeine, the Sparkling Unicorn, $5.50, is a refreshing lavender blueberry tea lemonade that shimmers in the light. Morris says they recently transitioned to making syrups in-house. The Honey Don't Latte, $7, offers a great way to sample one. A locally sourced honey syrup flavors the drink, which is dusted with cinnamon for a warm but not too sweet flavor. Morris uses local vendors for many of her products. Coffee beans from Upper Cup, bagels from Sammy's New York Bagels, and vegan pastries from Happy Little Treats and Patty Cake Bakery. Morris is working on plans for community events, including a gallery on the patio, a board game night, and book clubs. She says having a stable location has made her dream of founding a third space come true. "We now have regulars," she says. "We did it. We made something." If you go to Galaxy Coffee, which is at 3264 North High Street in Clintonville, and is open 7 to 3, Tuesday through Friday, and 8 to 3 on weekends, Galaxy Coffee has a membership program called Friends of the Truck. Members receive sparkles for supporting Galaxy through donations and volunteer work that can be redeemed for free drinks and other perks. You're listening to Columbus Monthly Magazine on Voice Corps. I'm Carol Williams, and that's all for the June issue of Columbus Monthly. So let's switch gears to 614 Magazine. This month's feature story is In Full Color, Local Artists Making Their Mark. In their introduction to this cover story, which we began reading together last week, they say, "We are highlighting 9 of the city's visual artists whose work spoke most to us, whether that's through public graffiti pieces, ornate mechanical sculptures, or Renaissance-era oil portraits with a postmodern twist. Here, it's all before you, in full color." Last week, we learned about Lance Johnson, Cassidy Boyuk, and Elijah the Cup Guy. Today, courtesy of Mary McCarthy, let's meet Madeline Buono. Madeline Buono would tell you that solitary time spent making art has always been when she makes the most sense of things. "It's always been the only constant throughout my entire life," she said. "Even though I'm a social creature now, I feel most myself locked up in a studio." She has leaned into that feeling so completely that self-isolation has become a religion of sorts. A 2020 graduate of Columbus College of Art and Design, she majored in illustration, with her sights set on commercial work in video games. Then COVID-19 happened and the plan changed. Like a lot of artists who suddenly found themselves drifting, she looked inward. Buono started painting in her apartment, found a handful of artists she loved, Ray Klein, Colleen Berry, and Maya Rusnik, just to name a few, and began experimenting. What started as pandemic restlessness evolved into a full studio practice, and she has no plans to slow down. Buono works primarily with oil paints, though she's recently started mixing in acrylics for texture. The canvases are large, the biggest reaching 6.5 feet, and she's candid about the fact that her studio space is the only thing standing in her way. "If I had a bigger studio, I'd go even bigger," she said without hesitation. Every piece is heavily rooted in symbolism. "I'm very curious about exploring symbols of the unconscious and how they work both in my psyche and the collective psyche. Dreams are really inspiring and esoteric." She journals constantly, mines inspiration from her interior life, and then turns outward. I like taking the inner world and trying to connect it to what's going on now, she said. A recent piece was inspired by an apocalypse dream Buono had, where the sky blackened out from an eclipse and the light turned red. In the dream, she collected her dog, Addie, and her childhood dogs as the world ended. She said, I follow a Jungian mindset, and the symbols that stand out the most are the eclipse, which I can represent sort of as a spiritual transformation, and dogs, who typically represent for me inner intuition and a bridge between civilized and wild natures. Her days don't look the way you might expect, though. Buono works full-time as a graphic designer, logging off around 6 p.m., walking her dog and making dinner before heading to her studio in Old Town East, where she paints until midnight. Everything is personal work, made from the long game in mind. More recently, she's been expanding into the curation side of the art world. She organized Milk Train, a show built around the shadow of the feminine psyche and the wild or uncongenial side of womanhood. The show featured over 30 artists and included paintings, sculptures, video, and photography. You can follow at Madeline Buono. That's MadelineBuano on Instagram to learn more. Jack McLaughlin introduces our next artist, Adam Hernandez. Through vibrant color, striking pattern, and an affinity for compelling storytelling, one of Columbus's most prolific muralists is painting the town far more than just red. Even if you think you don't, chances are you actually do know Adam Hernandez, or at least you're familiar with his artwork. The Bronx-born painter has produced nearly a dozen electrically colored and intricately tessellated murals throughout central Ohio, from a psychedelic samurai on the side of Old North Arcade Bar to an uplifting quote emblazoned onto a short north parking garage. Hernandez was raised in an arts-friendly family, but it took until his 20s for the prolific local muralist to realize that some talent was also inside him. I went to a gallery hop in the Short North in 2011, and I saw the different skill levels of artists and realized I could probably get my own show too, he said. It was the snowball that started the avalanche. Despite this moment of clarity, Hernandez learned that his aha moment alone wasn't a golden ticket to become a self-sustaining professional artist, as he had to wade through plenty of part-time jobs and apprenticeships to get there. Today, Hernandez's work can be seen throughout central Ohio, not only in public spaces, but also on the label of several Jackie O beers, the logo of Royal Flamingo Coffee, or even the captain's armbands for the MLS All-Star Game when it was hosted in Columbus in 2024. Messi was going to wear it, but then he got injured, so it went to someone else, he said with a laugh. And while Hernandez's talent is clear, and his work is visually striking from even a superficial glance, he postulated another reason for his longevity in the Columbus art scene. I can definitely say there are artists with a lot more talent than me, but art is as much about the experience a viewer has and how they feel, he said. That's where my storytelling ability and my ability to connect with people come in. His mural, Resilient Mother, which today beautifies Mid-Ohio Food Collective's food market on Norton Road, recalls the story of his own mother, who worked tirelessly to provide Hernandez and his siblings with as much as possible. Whether it's connecting with people on an emotional level or a more visceral one through his line of God mask paintings, Hernandez shows he has both the talent and the connective tools necessary to move people. I'm so drawn to it because it offers a chance to speak directly to my community, he said. Maybe I'm not being super specific when I'm speaking through one of my pieces, but ultimately, I'm just trying to put out positive or beautiful vibes. To learn where you can find all of Hernandez's murals, visit A. Hernandez Art. That's AHERNANDEZART.com. The third local artist profiled in this show is Alyssa Ohashi. How a decorated CCAD grad leans into performance, collage, and Carl Jung to address complicated topics of ancestry and trauma. This profile is by Laura Jones. Not all of Alyssa Ohashi's work is for sale. It's too personal. Take, for instance, the pair of collages hanging on her apartment wall. They're titled EMDR and include a split self-portrait of the artist, half young girl, half woman, surrounded by images she saw while doing experimental therapy designed to process trauma and PTSD. There's a magical forest, a unicorn, a castle, and even a black dragon named Elixir that Ohashi calls her spirit animal. As she explains it, her actual animal, a pit mix in a pink collar named Gretchen, paces at her feet. Her apartment is decorated with her own work, most of which she says is not for sale. Not her CCAD thesis, Represent, which explores her Japanese ancestry and family's internment. Not the blue sculpture resembling armor, created from found chicken wire, abaca pulp, and twine that also hangs on her wall. Ohashi uses art to explore ideas, and selling is never at the forefront of her mind. To be fair, she does sell some work, photographs and ceramics in particular. I read a lot of spiritual philosophy, and Carl Jung is my biggest influence, she said. To her interest in Jung, astrology, and alchemy, she's recently added a certificate in depth psychology from the Pacifica Graduate Institute. What I'm exploring is my own inner world and experience, and trying to translate that into visible form. Art found Ohashi later in life. She spent her childhood in a small town in Champaign County, not practicing art, but athletics. Then, after a stint as a server in New York City whiskey bar, she was introduced to the art world by her fellow staff, all of whom were filmmakers and photographers. The camera appealed to Ohashi. I liked capturing the world and taking everything in. I liked having a new way of looking at things and being able to frame exactly what I saw, she said. In addition to photography, Ohashi also works with collage, installations, and most recently, performance. In 2023 and 2025, she collaborated with artist and CCAD classmate Janelle Bonfour Mikes on two installation performance pieces called Conduit and Converge, respectively. In them, the two women improvised mark-making with blue painter's tape, interacting and reacting to each other, and at points destroying what the other had made, which was partially about the instability of life and specifically the political environment. Her next gallery piece is a call and response collaboration with poet Sayuri Ayres. Ohashi is also focused on teaching depth-oriented collage workshops to others interested in what could be called her meta-text, transformation. I like art therapy, psychology, Jung, and mixing them together for people who have a time and space to explore their inner world, she said. I hope by doing this work, they will be able to see the possibility for change and transformation within themselves and the world. As collage reassembles fragments to create something new, Ohashi and her students will use the elements of their own past to create a new, transformed self. And along the way, they'll make some art. You can learn more about Ohashi at alissaohashiart.com. That's alissaohashiart.com. There are three more artists profiled in this 614 magazine cover story, including Andrew Lundberg, Michelle Stitzlein, and Nick Stahl. We'll hear about them all on our next time together. You're listening to Columbus Monthly Magazine and 614 Magazine on Voice Core. I'm Carol Williams. Continuing in 614 Magazine, here's a piece called Over My Dead Body by Jackson Hall. Why Columbus fighter Maxwell Metzger bet everything on himself. On most days, Maxwell Metzger's schedule starts before most people are awake and ends long after most are done working. There's boxing practice, wrestling drills, Brazilian jiu-jitsu sessions, kickboxing, strength training, recovery work, and then there's the business side of his life, running a personal training business and coaching an amateur MMA team in Columbus. In total, the former Ohio State University student trains roughly 10 to 12 times a week, often multiple times a day, all while building a life with his fiancée ahead of their October wedding. And if everything goes according to plan, that life could soon include a contract with the Ultimate Fighting Championship. I'm not exactly one win away, Metzger says. You really never know how far away you are, but that's kind of the idea. Metzger, who grew up in Chicago, began wrestling at just 9 years old. He quickly found success in the sport, competing for powerhouse programs that won state and national championships. His high school coach is now in a Hall of Fame, and several of his former teammates went on to compete in the Big Ten and even the Olympics. But Metzger didn't come to Columbus to fight. He attended Ohio State to focus on school and build a more traditional career path. While in college, he worked for major sports media outlets, including Big Ten Network, Fox Sports, and ESPN. After graduation, however, his life looked a bit less glamorous. He worked a series of jobs moving freight, working on airfields, and waiting tables while trying to figure out what came next. At one point, he landed what many graduates would consider a stable opportunity, selling tickets for the Chicago Cubs. He hated the idea of it. I wanted to be excited for myself, Metzger said. I wanted to be grateful. I graduated from college. I got a good job, but it just didn't feel that way. Instead, he felt something worse. I felt like my best days were behind me, he said. And I was like, over my dead body. When the COVID-19 pandemic began, Medscar moved back to Columbus and made a decision that would completely reshape his life. He would become a professional fighter. He had some boxing experience from a college gen ed class and a wrestling background, but mixed martial arts was largely new territory. Within a few years, he rose quickly. Metzger spent 3 years fighting as an amateur and became the number one ranked amateur fighter in the country in his weight class. He turned professional roughly 2.5 years ago and now ranks as Ohio's top professional lightweight fighter. He said he currently sits among the top 20 fighters in North America in his division. That rise came through relentless discipline. "I don't really allow anything else into my life," Metzger said. "It's really just me, my fiancé, and the little life that we're carving out for ourselves." This Spartan approach extends beyond the gym. Recovery routines include sauna sessions, ice baths, long walks, and red light therapy. Nutrition is carefully managed. "Every decision," he said, "is tied to his larger goal." But Metzger rejects the stereotype many people have about fighters. He doesn't view himself as someone simply stepping into a cage to hurt people. Instead, he sees a distinction between being a prize fighter and being a martial artist. "A prize fighter is someone who gets in the cage and competes for money," Metzger says. "That's different than the person you have to be as a martial artist." That mindset shapes the work he does outside of competition. In addition to chasing his own professional dreams, Metzger coaches younger athletes and trains amateur fighters throughout Columbus. He describes martial arts as a vehicle for self-transformation, one that forces people to confront themselves honestly. "If you want an outcome to be better, you have to take full accountability and make the necessary changes," he said. For now, Metzger is preparing for another training trip to Florida while continuing to build his career in Columbus. A year from now, he hopes his life looks simple: a UFC contract, a house, a backyard for his dog, and proof that betting on himself was worth it. Metzger currently boasts a 6-0 record as a professional fighter. To stay up to date on his next fight, follow him at Mad Max Metzger. That's MadMaxMetzger. Here's a 614 article called "The Art of the ER. It's written by Amy Campbell. Pediatric emergency medicine specialist Dr. Delia Gold knows the science and celebrates the art of medicine. Growing up, Delia Gold was immersed in the family business. "I used to tell people I came from a long line of mechanics," she said, "but the mechanics were all doctors." Today, Dr. Delia Gold, MD, the fourth generation of the family business, is an associate clinical professor of pediatrics at The Ohio State University College of Medicine and a pediatric emergency medicine specialist at Nationwide Children's Hospital. She follows in the footsteps of her paternal great-grandfather, a pediatrician when it was still an uncommon specialty, her father and grandfather, both surgeons, and her mother, a then-pediatric resident at Children's Hospital of Michigan, where she met her future husband. When she was a kid, a doctor was Gold's easy answer to what she wanted to be when she grew up, and she got plenty of exposure to doctor life, going on rounds with her father and to the hospital with her mom, also a pediatric ER doc, when no sitter was available. Gold said there was no aha moment that propelled her into pediatric emergency medicine, but she did hear a lot about it at the dinner table. "I would hear my mom's stories, and she never sounded bored," Gold remembered. "She would always have such an interesting day at work, and she wasn't really talking to me, but I was listening. Listening and charting her own course. Becoming a physician typically begins with an undergraduate degree in the hard sciences, but Gold had other plans. "I remember my dad asking me what I was going to study in college, and I said, 'I'm going to study English,'" she recalled. "When he asked what I was going to do with that, I said, 'I'm going to be a doctor.' I just didn't approach becoming a doctor the way some people do." Gold said both her unconventional path and the perseverance that got her into medical school made her the physician she is today, one who appreciates both the art and the science of medicine. "I would say the poetic side of medicine is better described in the arts," she said, noting that the emotion around suffering and death are aspects not typically covered in biology books. "You read about cells dying, but in Shakespeare, you read about the pain and strife and tension, and that's more human." "Medical dramas helped bridge that gap," Gold said, "and have a big impact on people's understanding of emergency medicine. It's hard to imagine what an ER or an ICU is like without those kinds of artistic depictions, and there's a lot of accuracy in them," she emphasized. True to her word, Gold majored in English as an undergrad at the University of Michigan, moved on to the University of Minnesota for med school, and then came to Columbus for residency at Nationwide Children's. By then, she had become interested in both emergency medicine and intensive care and worked in both, back to back, to help make her decision. "I realized that the broadness and the open possibility of emergency medicine seemed more in line with what I would probably be happy doing," she said. "Practically speaking, a pediatric hospital is in the position to provide the best care for children because it sees a higher volume of complex pediatric cases," Gold said. "We have the most subspecialists," she explained. "So a cardiologist is one thing, but we have a pediatric cardiologist. We have pediatric radiologists. We have pediatric emergency medicine doctors, and I just see it a little differently than an adult emergency medicine doctor does. The style of medicine and approach to problems are different, too. If we're going to draw labs on a kid, we're much more thoughtful, and I'd say we're more conservative about some of that stuff," she said. "We don't want to hold a child down and stick a needle in them if we don't have to, because the parent's going to be stressed that their child is crying and their hearts are breaking for their child. We do our absolute best to approach the medical issues while taking the family into account." Gold said what people are going through when they're in an ER creates an atmosphere she was drawn to. "It just feels different to me. So that's why I chose it," she said. "And kids, I'm a better human being taking care of kids." To learn more about Dr. Gold and the rest of the Nationwide Children's Emergency Services team, you can visit www.nationwidechildrens.org. We are almost out of time together for Columbus Monthly Magazine and 614 Magazine. Before we finish, let's take a look at some upcoming events for the month of August. August 9th through the 15th, it's the Hartford Fair at Hartford Fairgrounds, 14028 Fairgrounds Road in Croton, Ohio. August 13th through the 15th, it's the Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival, Huber Park, 1640 Davidson Drive in Reynoldsburg. Celebrate the city's agricultural roots with a lively weekend of tomato-inspired food, entertainment, family-friendly activities, and community pride. Have a green thumb for growing tomatoes? Enter them into a contest. Children can participate in hands-on games and activities in the Kids' Corner, as well as carnival rides. A special sensory time on August 14th will offer rides and games with reduced lights and sounds. Admission to the Reynoldsburg Tomato Festival is free. August 14th and 15th, it's the Columbus Food Truck Festival at Franklin County Fairgrounds, 4100 Columbia Street in Hilliard. Sample menu items from more than 50 food trucks and catch live music and performances at this event, which marks its 15th year. Attend on August 15th to take advantage of a kids' zone with entertainment, activities, and games for younger guests. Tickets start at $5. And finally, August 22nd and 23rd, it's Festival Latino at the John F. Wolfe Columbus Commons, 160 South High Street, and the Ohio Theater, 39 East State Street, both in Columbus. For its 29th year, Festival Latino is moving to a new home downtown. The free, family-friendly event celebrates Latin American culture with a variety of live music and dance performances, food, art, fashion, and children's activities. And that is all the time we have for Columbus Monthly Magazine. I'm Carol Williams. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to more programming on VoiceCorps, your audio access to the world.